Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Seltzer, we know Joe Conklin likes to take a bite out of things, good or bad, right? I mean, it's...
You know, yes, I think you'd say that.
Good or bad. And you know what he tapped into today? The Beach Boys. Because wouldn't it be nice?
And the Eagles have been brought to their knees by the Tampa Bay Bucks.
The beat is still down.
And the Phillies are headed home.
Wouldn't it be nice if Sirianni had wisdom and didn't use his kids to shield himself? And wouldn't it be nice if Embiid stayed healthy? We wouldn't have to watch our chances melt. But as we watch the Birds and Phillies losing, seems the agony is never ending. Wouldn't it be nice if our big hitters delivered when it really counts the most? And then we all could celebrate together, championship back where it belongs. If only Jalen Hurts was so much better, and Sirianni sipped it all. Every year we wish and hope and pray our bullpen might come through. And maybe then we wouldn't see another Thompson stupid move. And how about the Flyers?
And how about the Flyers?
Stanley Cup winners.
Stanley Cup winners.
Wouldn't it be nice? You know, it seems the more we talk about it, it's like we really wanna live without it. So let's talk about it. Wouldn't it be nice?
15, just call us. 592-9494.
215, just call us.
Look. It's been a rough go lately, all right? I think we all know. It's been a rough go lately. But we always know we can count on Conklin to kind of just sum up how we feel. Look, Conklin's extraordinary. Make sure you see Joe Conklin and his story and the story of Philly sports through music with Conklin and the City Rhythm Orchestra at Cherokee High School on Saturday, October 26th. Also at the Media Theater on State Street in Media on Saturday, November the 16th. Conklin's the best. That was another just masterful work. Of course, you can always get tickets at JoeConklin.com.
And, of course, it's Conklin's Comedy Night at 360 at Park Casino. Tomorrow night, see Taylor Mason from America's Got Talent. Show starts at 8 p.m. Tickets are $20, include a free drink. Tickets at JoeConklin.com.
All right, so during this time with the convergence of a lot of different topics and teams, and by the way, Mishkov had two goals last night, the first and second of his career. Now, the Flyers unfortunately lost in overtime. Get a point, but another...
Sounds about right.
But a great showing by Mishkov. Let's also listen to the showing by Dave Dombrowski yesterday. So what we're about to play is a chunk. It's about 6 minutes. And it's like a lot of the main stuff from yesterday's press conference. It's how it started the first few minutes with the main questions and the main answers, including Ron Thompson's status and more. Here's Dave. Listen, and then we'll react. Dave Dombrowski yesterday.
Hey, Dave, just wondering what the status is of all of your coaches. Are they returning? Are there any changes?
Yes. Basically, we have extended Rob Thompson for 2026, and all the Major League coaching staff will be back.
And can you, I mean, anytime a season ends in disappointment, failure, whatever, sometimes there's changes in the coaching staff just to get a new voice in there. Why did you guys feel that that was not necessary at this time?
Well, I think we have a good coaching staff, primarily. I mean, they do a very efficient job. They did lead us to 95 wins, and they've been with us for couple of years, a lot of cases 3 years, and some beyond that. But they're very efficient. They do their job well. We have a good manager. They work well with the manager. He reports direct. They report directly to him. He would have liked all his coaches back. So, to me, it was pretty simple in that regard. It's hard for me to, you know, anytime you're right, you do have a disappointing finish, which we did. But it's also hard to to put that on their backs in that case. So I think we all share collectively in what's what happened, but it's one of those where putting it on any of their individual backs, I don't think was the right thing to do.
And then why was it important to extend Rob an extra year?
Well, I think, first of all, he's done a good job for us. I mean, he's been a very successful manager. There's very few clubs in baseball that have made the postseason 3 years in a row. He has done that. We've been a very good club under his guidance. It's also one where I think stability in the manager spot, I don't think going into the manager's last year is ever a good situation to be in if you can prevent that from happening. He deserves the extension in that regard. I don't really want the focus. If you go into, I've been in the position sometimes willingly, sometimes unwillingly, where your manager goes into the last year of his contract, and right off the bat, you lose three games in a row, and there's speculation on his job status. So I think it secures that people know how we feel about him. He's done a good job, and it gives us stability in that role. So he's deserved it, really. He's done a great job for us.
Okay, let's go to Marcus in the front.
Rob, do you believe that the structure of this roster with the five veteran, well-paid hitters and the four pitchers you have under control, or four pitchers you have in your starting rotation, and the two young infielders, do you think that this is the bones of a team that can win a championship, or do you think that significant changes need to be either made or additions need to be made?
Well, Dave, I think you mean too, right? That's it, right? Like, yeah, I figured Rob. I didn't see him. I thought you meant me. So that's why.
I'll ask him the same question, I promise.
Okay. Yes, I do think it's a good roster. I think it's a good club. I think it's a club that's capable of winning a world championship. We've been close. We won 95 games. However, you're also open-minded to making adjustments. I think that that's a necessity. You want to get better. You're never happy unless you win the whole thing, and we didn't win the whole thing. So I think we have a real good core of players. But, again, I think we'll be open-minded to see if we can make that make our ball club better. So that's really our goal in this case. I think we're in a situation where you look at our guys, we had eight players make the all-star team. That means you have a lot of good players. We're in a position where a lot of the, when you talk about the veteran guys, they're really good players at this time. But you're always open-minded to making adjustments, however you may need to be better. So that's what we'll do. We'll go into the winter time with that mindset.
Okay, we'll go to Scott on the left.
Dave, you guys were 61-32 after the sweep of the Dodgers here, and 34-35 the rest of the way. I kind of wonder how you sort of reconcile the first 90-plus games with the final third of the season, and where you feel like maybe things fell down a little bit.
Well, it's the up-and-down nature of the game at times. I wouldn't have anticipated us to have that same pace the first half of the season, yet I wouldn't have anticipated we'd have 500 record the second half, or right around there. I think there's a few factors. I mean, some guys were hurt at times, ups and downs of that regard. We just didn't perform quite as well at times during the second half of the season, some of the players. And I also think that, and I'll take the responsibility, when we went into the trading deadline, we were in a position where we looked at a lot of different things, and the fifth starting position was in a spot where, at that point, we felt pretty comfortable where we were. You looked at the acquisition of what some other individuals would be, but we had Tyler Phillips, who was pitching very well at that time. We had Tyon Walker coming back in about 10 days, and we didn't think he'd pitch the way he pitched. We figured we had Spencer Turnbull coming back at the end of August, and we felt that he had pitched really well previously to getting hurt, but we thought he'd be able to step into the starting rotation. Well, none of those things worked for us. And so really what happened is that fifth spot, that's why it's a little misleading, the record. When you look at the fifth spot that we had, that was not a good spot at all for us the last 2 months of the season. So let's say you had five or six wins to there, which would be the case. That person, if we acquired him, probably wouldn't have pitched in the postseason for us. So we looked at it saying, okay, we think we're good enough to win our division as we stand. We did think those three guys, we'd come up with one of them to pitch well for us. And then also over the last couple of months, Ranger dealt with a lot of little things with him, nothing of major consequence. But all of a sudden, we're not going out there with a consistent five-man rotation, which I think is very important. And we did earlier in the season. That was successful. So I think that had a large contribution to that.
If I can follow, too, I'm just curious, like, offensively, were there times where you felt like the group, the lineup as a whole, was too easy to pitch to? Or, I mean, how did you sort of assess sort of the ups and downs that you guys had offensively?
Well, the unfortunate part, you have a tendency to focus only on your own club, right? This is a downtime from an offensive perspective in professional baseball. What was the average? 243 at the end of the year? Most of our hitters were better than 243. You see the scores in the games in most of the postseason. There's not a lot of run production taking place. So at times we are vulnerable to being pitched well, as are other clubs. But I can't say that like going into the last 2 months of the season that we thought, oh, that was going to be a major issue for us. But it's something we'll look at. We'll take a look at trying to address to see if we can make some changes. Sometimes, you know, we talk about, it's interesting, and I know a theme is chase rate, right? I mean, everybody I read in here writes about chase rate. I think it was interesting, we got eliminated. We were sixth in major of the 12 clubs in chase rate in the postseason. And so that's not good, but it's not the worst. We didn't hit. We really didn't hit. Some of it's chase, some of it's approach, some of it's guys not being hot. We actually, if you looked at it, we chased less than the Mets did in that series, percentage-wise. But at times they got some big hits, and we didn't. And so it's something that we're cognizant of. It's something we'll continue to try to address. But the reality is we have a good lineup. I think we were in the top five in Major League Baseball in runs scored, and we'll continue to strive to be better. But I also think that a lot of clubs are vulnerable to being pitched well. I mean, our starting pitching really shut down the Mets in the postseason, all in all. Unfortunately, our bullpen picked a bad time to not pitch well, and they had been very good almost all year long, particularly the back end of the guys. So sometimes, you know, when you look at it, there's clubs that win 2-1, 1-0, and we just didn't do that. And then part of that was we didn't score enough runs, but we also, our bullpen did not have a good series.
All right, that's Dave Dombrowski yesterday. We're going to react to that next. Your reaction, what stood out to you, what you liked, what you didn't like. Bowie.
So you do have some respect.
I do.
For music.
Selective. What I care about. Is that a fair way to put it, James? Like, what I care about.
I think we know that, yes. That's very clear.
You're real, Joe.
I'll tell you one thing I care about. I care about Turkey Bowl. And it's going to happen again this Thanksgiving. Yeah, either Thanksgiving or Thanksgiving Eve. We don't know the day because we have seven different games with 14 different schools. Some are actually on Thanksgiving. Some are Thanksgiving Eve. But here's the bottom line. You can vote at 94WIP.com to get a high school game featured right here on WIP the week of Thanksgiving. So look at 94WIP.com to find out the 14 schools that are eligible for Turkey Bowl 6 this year. We look forward to it. Voting is going on right now. Students, faculty, alums, you know, vote. Vote as much as you can. And obviously try to steer your school that you care about to have their game Thanksgiving Day here on WIP. All right, we'll react to Dave Dombrowski in a moment. Let's get back to the Eagles for a moment because, you know, Ross Tucker with us here. Ross, it hasn't been feeling good lately with the Birds, even though they're above 500. Can you pump us up, Ross, with some how they can make this a good or great season still? I need a couple things that make us feel better about the Birds. What do you got?
Absolutely. I love being positive. Let's do it. Listen, they still have a top two or three receiver duo in the NFL. Probably a top two or three running back, a top five tight end, a top five offensive line. I think it's interesting as I go through this to see where I would rank Jalen Hurts. I think a top 10 quarterback still, but I'm not 100% sure of that. I have to actually write him out. And so you put all that together. That is, not many teams have the Eagles personnel on offense. That's number one. And then on the flip side, on the defense, they looked pretty good on Sunday. I mean, maybe as good as they've looked all year, that and the Saints game. And they've got some young players. Quinyon Mitchell is the real deal. Cooper DeJean looks like he might be the real deal. They might have gone from having sort of a liability as the nickelback in Avante Maddox to that being a strength. And then even up front, Ajumma, this young second-year D-tackle from Texas who they took in the seventh round, it looks like they have something in him. So the encouraging thing, Joe, is the offensive personnel, the defensive improvement, and in particular, the growth from the super young players on the defensive side of the ball.
That and Jerry Jones isn't their owner.
Oh,
we're going to play some. We're going to play some Jerry Jones audio in a moment,
Ross. So the Cooper DeJean thing. I want to hear more about how he played in your estimation. But we also have another explosive and exciting safety. Another DB. In Sidney Brown, who is, you know, he's in our reserves. He's in that whatever can be activated realm, which I know that Vic Fangio a couple weeks back, or maybe it was last week, talked about Sidney Brown, knew that he was able to be, you know, activated, ready to be worked back into the swing of things. It does sound like he's going to have a chance to be out there and show what he can do. I know he likes hitting people. I know it feels like Cooper DeJean will put his face on people. Is this going to change the way our defense plays football to some degree, Ross?
Well, having a nickelback like DeJean will, because as you saw Sunday, he makes a difference as a blitzer. He was really good in coverage. He is very willing to be a tackler. I mean, he can play like nickel linebacker. He played some nickel linebacker.
And he looks kind of like a linebacker when he's doing it.
By the way, I showed a picture to my wife last night of Cooper DeJean. I didn't tell her who it was. I said, "How old do you think this kid is?" And she's like, 16?
I mean, no.
He might be the only, like, he is the best nickelback in NFL history that's never shaved one time in his life. It is, I mean, it's crazy. And then I showed her, like, when I'm sad, I just watch Cooper DeJean high school basketball highlights. And
that
have you guys
amazing
seen
stuff.
That? It is the, he's,
yeah, he's
6
got some
foot,
ups.
And it's crazy. So anyway, I would say, you know, it's really tough to just put a guy in like Sidney Brown who's missed this much time with a new defense. My guess is they'll put him on special teams.
Sure.
We'll start to notice him on special teams, and then maybe they can find a package for him. But I don't picture them replacing Gardner Johnson or Blankenship with Sidney. So he'd have to be a package player at this point. It's interesting because watching the Eagles, the things that are crazy about like their front seven are, I can't believe that Brandon is their best edge rusher.
It shouldn't be.
We need to, when he comes in with you guys on Tuesdays, we need to like convince him to play another year next year. The other thing,
He talked about that, Ross. Yeah. He talked about that a couple weeks ago, and
please,
he said he's open to the idea.
And Ross, I told him. I mean, I believe it. He's got all the leverage because of how well he's playing. No, that, but because of Brian Dawkins. Ross, I will always be convinced that after Doc, Jeffrey Lurie and Howie Roseman never want something like that to happen again. And if Brandon Graham wants to continue to play, they will choose. I mean, unless he was so bad, which he's not, they would play him again.
Or unless he asked for like some absurd.
Absurd. Yeah,
exactly.
Which he's not going to.
Agree.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You know what I think is interesting?
I mean that. I really mean that theory. They haven't had one of them since then.
No, I think there's some truth to that. The other thing that's interesting, Nolan Smith made a play on Sunday on the Deshaun Watson quarterback sweep, which was a big play. But, you know, we need more from the Georgia guys.
No question.
Across the board. I mean, N'Kobe Dean, there's still too many plays where he's a step slow, it seems to me, to get there. And because he's not a physically impressive dude, that cannot happen. Nolan Smith, that was one of the only plays he's really made.
It was a good one, though.
So far.
That was a good play.
Yeah, they need Davis more. And Carter had like a couple of awesome plays. But like for the Eagles to go where we think or hope that they can make, Carter has to be like a difference-making defensive player of the year type of guy week in and week out. He's not really that.
He's underwhelmed me this year, Ross.
Why is it less?
He's inconsistent.
He is.
Why is it less than
But here's what we need, though. This is why Ajumma is so important. Everybody slides their protection to Carter because he's the only – this is kind of sad, but he's the only D lineman you really need to worry about right now. He's the only D lineman that merits double teaming, okay? So they're going to slide line. What does that mean? It means the center can go either way, right? Center can go to the right, center can go to the left. The center is going to try to go to Jalen Carter as much as the other team can do, which means the guys on the other side, including Ajumma, they're going to get one-on-ones. They have
gotta
to win.
Yeah, got
to
win.
They have to win the one-on-ones.
Yep. All right, let's get a lot of calls in here. 215-592-9494. Also, Twitter poll question of the day, which is brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. With the truck season at Armin available, 1.9% financing on all new 2024 light-duty Armin Silverados. Together, let's drive. ArminChevy.com. Carissa Phil's announcing Rob Thompson will be back for next year, and they extended him. We ask you this question. Do you like the decision to bring Rob Thompson back for the 2025 season, yes or no? You can vote at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter. And Seltzer, just give me your quick assessment and then right to the calls. The Dombrowski audio we played a short time ago, what'd you make of that? Because that was the bulk of the main stuff. What'd you make of it?
Yeah, I thought you had a good line earlier saying that usually when Dombrowski speaks, it makes us feel better about things. And this is the first time I remember I feel worse about everything after hearing him speak. I felt like there was no accountability from him. There was no accountability from the coaches. And I get putting on the players. That's fine. Like, I do think the players are the biggest culprits. But it felt like it was like, bullpen sucked. Sorry. We'll be better next year because we'll be better next year. And this whole idea, all right, we're going to target hitting to all fields. These guys can't even not chase in the playoffs when they know they have to not chase. What makes you think that in an offseason you're going to be able to change how these guys hit and how they go about their business? It feels like the plan and look, the plan could be different from what he's selling us, but the plan he's selling us, in my opinion, isn't close to good enough.
All right, let's get a lot of reaction here. Joe in Mayfair right now. Joseph, good morning, buddy.
Good morning. A couple of things before my feel-good story. First, I'm with Seltzer right there with Dombrowski. You know, Major League Baseball right now is boring. The analytical part of baseball is ruining the game. The regular season was great. More stolen bases, more energy on the bases, quicker pace game. But the pitching's bad, and you're just hoping for a three-run home run. And it's every team. The Padres go 25 innings without scoring a run.
They got to do some sort of structural change to reignite. Look, baseball's done this a few times.
It's horrible.
They got to do something. You know what's incredible, Joe? You know what's really incredible? .243 batting average when these two things are in play. The shift was eliminated, which was supposed to increase batting average, and no pitcher hitting in the National League. Like, it's astounding. So
because everyone's looking for the home run. The contact hitting is over. Hitting the ball the opposite way is over. The hit and run is over. Yeah. The Phillies have any stolen bases in the playoffs? Seltzer, do they have any stolen bases?
I think they had two in one game, but it wasn't dominant. I mean, look, they didn't get on base a ton. That's part of it.
It was surprising when they stole.
Correct. Yeah.
But yeah, it didn't happen much.
It shouldn't feel surprising when it's like, whoa, ho, that was easy. Well, holy cow.
And it felt wasted because whenever that happened, they just stuck out.
Yeah. And let's be real about it for a moment. Trey and Bryce are your two main guys to steal bases. If they're not on base, you're not going to steal much.
Well, I mean, Trey, I mean, again, when your lineup is struggling, you have to create energy. You have to create, at least try, be aggressive.
Yeah, but guys got to get on. They got to get on.
Yeah, and the problem is they don't.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Contact hit.
I know.
That's a missing thing. Man, I mean, the Guardians can't hit. The Tigers couldn't hit.
But we chased less than the Mets did.
We
chased less than the Mets did. And also, hey, it's okay, Joe, because like everyone else was also worse this year at offense. Like
baseball. It's just baseball. Like the offense was
See,
down.
That resonates
it's
with
not
me.
Good enough.
That
it's
resonates
not good
with
enough.
Me.
We should, while everyone else is down, we should be up the way that we pay, the way that John Middleton has paid this team. We are supposed to be better than
yeah,
what
but,
we were.
But Joe,
and I didn't feel like you conveyed that when you talked
no, look,
to us.
Joe, here's the deal. I don't think Dombrowski did a great job yesterday, but I will come back to these two realities. The Phillies could have won the World Series this year, and just because they didn't doesn't mean they can't next year, even if it's the same group. I really believe that.
If you bring back the same group, that again, it's a mindset. We've already been here. We've already had the same clean. You have to create more energy and more spark players, bench players. You have to create some.
Well,
sort
you want
of,
a better. A you want a better
mix.
Bench. Look, they were
yeah,
again. They were again
Absolutely
deficient.
Horrible.
And the Hayes thing and the Rojas thing killed them. They killed them. Because
quickly
they,
before
you know.
I get to the feel good story.
Sure.
I believe what Ross Tucker saying. This the scheme of the offense. Joe, name me the last football game this Eagles team played where you said the coaching staff out-schemed the other team, not just the individual players making plays because you just have talent.
Like, go back to Shane Steichen.
Yeah, I don't know the answer to that.
Correct.
Go back to 2022.
Thank you, John Ritchie. Correct.
Here's what Joe, here's what I do know. I was thinking about this yesterday. When is the last time that the Eagles won that 10 minutes after the game I truly felt really good?
Go and back.
No.
You didn't feel good after this.
They had 0 points entering the fourth quarter. Zero.
Maybe the Bills game, Joe. Maybe one game was the Bills, but
I wouldn't even say that.
That was the one that where Jalen helped lead them back.
No, that was impressive. But the Bills also had a receiver drop a ball that if he catches, the game's over. I mean, to me, it's the Dolphins win last year. It's the last time where after the game and on Monday morning, I really felt like even when they beat the Chiefs last year. I mean, that guy dropped the ball. By the way, the Bills game, the Bills guy dropped the ball. It's the Bills guy turned the wrong way.
He threw it past him.
But I never look at an Eagles game to where our coaching staff out-schemed the other team in either side of the ball game.
All right, Joe, give me a feel-good story.
Well, this combo, I'm going to go back to the most beloved coach in Philadelphia sports and Dick Vermeil coming back from retirement, taking a guy who bagged groceries and Kurt Warner at over 30 years old, and they won a Super Bowl in 2000.
Pretty cool.
By 1 yard.
Pretty cool.
Amazing.
There's no question.
Stuff.
And it's really a shame for them, John. They don't even get to have like a real reunion there. The team doesn't exist in that town anymore.
I'm sure they can still get together.
I mean, I would hope, but like... It's
in St. Louis.
You know what I mean?
Do you get together at the Rams Stadium?
Or do you go to a hotel
in St. Louis?
I would rather be in a hotel in St. Louis with an event like a radio station puts together and says, here are the 99 Rams. Yeah. Let's get 20,000 people instead of doing it in Los Angeles where Eric Dickerson played.
It's probably going to be in Los Angeles, though, any reunions they do. Because it'll be a team thing, I think.
Hey, by the way, Ross, we are 3 years away from the 10-year reunion of the Philadelphia Eagles Championship.
That's just adding up.
Will there be
any Eagles players still on the team?
Well, probably. Well, maybe,
now
maybe
that
not.
That
we'll
say.
Jake Elliott and Rick Lovato. Probably.
Yeah, but Ross, here's the question: If Carson is out of football in 3 years, a distinct possibility, does he show up to the reunion?
I don't know. He's a unique guy. I think the other guys try to convince him to go, but I am going to – well, that's a long time.
I think he's there. I think he gets there because it looks so bad if he's not. And you know what? Let me just say this because, look, I've said a lot about Carson through the years. I mean
– Carson Wentz is horrible.
What reunion are we talking about
here?
10 years.
Yeah, but I will say this. He would deserve a tremendous standing ovation at that reunion.
I agree.
If he is not on that team, they don't win the Super Bowl.
I agree. 100%.
11-2 when he got injured.
Yeah. He was on his way to MVP.
If I'm a friend of his, I say, Carson, get your butt there. You're going to get a great ovation, and let's start turning people around on you and remembering the good times, because there were great times.
Joe, I love hearing this positivity from
Thank you.
Because that's the thing that frustrates me sometimes. I hear some people talk negatively about Andy Reid, about Donovan
McNabb.
That
would be me.
Angelo, I know. But like these are like all time.
Well, Andy, yes, yeah.
And so is McNabb.
Well, so in a lesser all-time. I mean,
McNabb,
he's, yeah.
McNabb, before, I would say you could argue McNabb is like the most important player for the Eagles franchise for like a 40-year period. I mean, he led them to unprecedented
success. I get it.
But people talk about him negatively. It bothers me.
Bothers me too.
I understand there are reasons for it, Ross. I mean, it's not like we woke up one day and said, oh, let's just criticize Donovan McNabb and Andy Reid. I mean, let's be real and honest about that.
Yeah, there was a lot of stuff.
But my thing is, nobody, what I would say, Rhea, is nobody's perfect.
Yeah, nobody
but
is.
But I would say with...
Do you criticize not anybody in your analysis?
No. I am very critical.
Wow.
Hey, I was critical earlier about the Eagles, the Eagles script to start the games. The Eagles not getting the ball to Saquon Barkley in space. My thing is, though, when you're 10 and 20 years removed... I am, you know, like with McNabb or Andy Reid or whatever, I'm surprised more people can't look at that and just, I guess in life you can choose to remember the good times or focus on
how it ended poorly. Andy, for Donovan, I have said all along, even though he drove me nuts, I think he's the best quarterback we've ever had.
Got it. Well, I like hearing that.
There you go.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. All right, Ross, give us a little something quickly here on the Giants. I mean, they stink again, right?
No, they don't stink again. That's the problem. Uh-oh. They're not good. They're not good, okay?
Uh-huh.
But they don't stink again. And in particular, they don't stink when they have their star rookie receiver, Malik Nabers, who did not play the last two games with a concussion.
And
I really, I would imagine he's going to be back, although it's strange that he missed two games. Usually guys miss one game with a concussion. It's not good for the Eagles that they don't have Mailata because the Giants' defensive line is very good. It's better than the Eagles' defensive line. Although, as Rhea said in the update earlier in the hour, the Giants don't have their left tackle either.
Yep.
It looks like they're going to lose him for the season, Andrew Thomas, which is even worse. My prediction, Joe, is it is going to be like every other Eagles game.
Oh.
It's going to be 20-17, maybe 23-20. It could go either way. Oh, we're going to have to sweat it out at the end of the game because that's just what this year's going to be.
Can Cam Jurgens hold up against Dexter Lawrence, the giant nose tackle that will be sitting right over him all day long?
Yeah, because the two guards next to him are absolute monsters,
okay.
And they can help him. But, yes, Dexter That's Lawrence, good. You should not be able to move like he does for 350 pounds. It's crazy.
That's conservative.
Yeah, he's a great player. Hey, Ross, nice work as always, and we'll talk to you next week, my man. Thank you.
Sounds great. See you guys.
Thanks, Ross.
All right, so let's get this Jerry Jones audio in here. And then, by the way, we got a Richie song today.
No way.
Like, John went in the lab and created a song.
And I didn't create it.
Well, you did your version of a song.
Yeah, you did.
Okay, create the wrong word, but your version.
It's a
Richie cover.
Okay.
Now, there's a little bit of like
You've yet to hear a Richie original for what it's worth, and that's never happened.
No.
Me and Devin heard it.
I wasn't there for that.
I have not heard it.
You
and I heard it.
I have never heard a Richie original in my life. Ever.
When Richie played his song, throwing that out there. He wrote for a girl.
Nothing like singing.
two other women.
Nothing like singing, Angie. Let me sing Angie to Kelly. Okay.
What?
Right.
It was a song called Mandy, maybe?
Foolproof strategy.
with five non-Mandys. Let me sing a song called Mandy to five non-Mandys and tell you it was actually about a specific Mandy in my life.
Wow.
Listen, we love this guy. We do.
That's a wild move. I love it.
All right.
Wow.
All right, let's play some Jerry Jones audio.
I wish I could say more about that whole situation.
Okay, well, you say whatever you want to say.
I can't.
Summer John got uncomfortable for you, right?
It was a little weird.
A little weird. Look, you leaned in, and I
applaud you. Tried, John.
Yeah.
It was a nice dip in your toe in.
And so did the women. I mean, it's all right. It's okay. All right, Jerry Jones. So I think this got misreported yesterday when people were acting like, because I saw reports Jerry Jones you know, threatens these guys' jobs. That's not accurate.
It but, kind of felt
well,
like
it's a little
he did.
Accurate.
He doesn't own the station.
Yes, he does.
Yeah. Oh, he does?
He owns the radio job. He owns the radio station, man. Yes. Okay. Yeah, it was reported exactly as it was.
My fault. I didn't realize this was a Daniel
Snyder.
Did you notice
today.
How quiet they got? Like, the first time
okay,
he said,
fault.
He owns
laughing.
The, he's their
then,
boss.
And then he said,
my fault.
And then he says, no, I'm serious. And it's dead silent.
I know it was. Okay. I thought it was one of those things where he's just saying, I'll take my interview elsewhere. All right. I got
no,
you.
He was like, I will fire
okay.
all of you.
He yeah. owns the station. That makes this a lot worse. Let's listen to it. Jerry Jones yesterday, his season is falling down the tubes. His team stinks, and he's in a bad mood, and these guys are pressing him a little bit. And Jerry Jones, it's just ridiculous.
Your job isn't to let me go over all the reasons that I did something, and I'm sorry that I did it. That's not your job.
Well, my job is to ask why.
Get a job, or I'll get another. I'll get somebody else to ask these questions, man.
Jerry, we're trying to figure out why the team is.
I'm not kidding. You're not going to figure out what the team is doing right or wrong.
Wow.
Yeah.
Like, whoa, yeah. dude.
Oh, Kelly man. Doubled down today. He said, "I'm not going to be grilled by guys I'm paying." I mean, it's unbelievable.
Jerry Jones thinking he lives in North Korea.
Seriously, though, it's like dictator stuff. That's it's propaganda. Okay,
what in the world,
I'm
man?
Paying. You know, what to the
how
the
do they how do they ever do this interview again? You know, like how do you ever ask him any questions again? It's all like the teeth
if he's
are gone.
If he's gonna hold to this, I don't know that they can ask him questions again.
Well,
I
mean, by the way,
there's another moment in the post game scrum where someone, I don't know if it's a Dallas reporter, a national reporter, who asked him a question, and all I thought was, oh my gosh, that poor reporter is going to be traumatized, because he did a similar thing. He kind of looked at him and was like, I'm not going to answer that question. No, I'm serious. And it's like,
this is incredible.
It's crazy.
It's crazy
behavior.
It really is like bullying. I mean, yeah. like you're, this is, but I don't even know what to call yeah. this. He does employ them.
Well, that's so.
And he's threatening them for the way that they're asking.
Look, just, doing their job.
They yeah. really are doing their job.
There is a tremendous conflict of interest, though, right from the outset. Like, before, I didn't realize he owned the station. Like, you can make a strong case. It's like when Dave Spadaro used to ask questions at Eagles press conferences. Like, about 10 years ago, the Eagles finally said, all right, enough. Like, it was their idea. Let's have our Eagles guy. And I love Dave. He's a wonderful person. But he never should have been asking those questions. I mean, you know, he's an employee of the Eagles asking Andy Reid a generally positive question in the midst of a conversation about something bad after a loss.
Joe, like, he totally killed these guys, because he actually went on to say, if they were real fans or real football people, but they don't know anything about football. Yeah. I'm like, these are guys you employ.
It's not good. Not good. All right, 215-592-9494.
Hard to believe why they're a train wreck down there.
No, listen, like I said earlier, you want something good about the Eagles.
Kim Jong-Jones over there.
Who? Yeah.
Kim Jong-Jones.
Good one, James.
That is pretty good. All right, let's get to Chuck. He's calling in from Cherry Hill. What's going on, Chuck?
Good morning, everybody. That was tough to hear yesterday. I feel as
which thing, Sirianni or the Dombrowski?
Just too soon.
It was a tie, Chuck.
Yeah, I know which one.
It is. One took the other one off the hook back and forth. I got a
kinda.
Question for you, Joe. If in a game five, the MIDI pitching is perfectly acceptable, nobody pushes back on it, nobody says Noah only had 2 days rest, yada, yada. So if it's okay in game five, why would it not be okay in game four?
I agree.
Bring Wheeler in after our starter gives you 4.5 pretty good innings, zero.
Yeah, so I would not. So, Chuck, this is just me. This is me. Look, clearly that's something they could have done. What I would have done is saved Wheeler for five to have him pitch a lot of innings on normal rest in a game you still had to win, and utilize Sanchez once you got into the middle of the game and less innings are required. That would have been my strategy.
Yeah, and we can go back and forth. That's the only reason I say Wheeler is I think he's going to give you a goose egg, and we already have a goose egg. That's a 1-0 win maybe. But we're not playing game five now.
I understand.
But here's the problem from yesterday. When they resort to giving us manipulating stats that the general fan doesn't know much about, that's not condescending, but we don't know a lot about D-War, the stuff that I do all day long.
Sure. We don't know and we don't care. Yep, exactly.
So he picks that area to say that there's subjectiveness. Well, here's the problem. The reason Ozzie Smith is number one in D-War is because Ozzie Smith was the best shortstop to ever play. It is deadly accurate. Turner was a negative 14 this year. He was a negative 12 last year. Undeniable. That's a fact. You cannot say there's looseness in the defensive analytics assessment, so therefore it wasn't really all
Chuck,
that
Chuck, let me make this real simple. Dave Dombrowski yesterday, and I don't think he typically does this, but he did yesterday. He really covered for someone.
He covered for Trey Turner,
yeah. And he covered for him in part because they still got him for nine or eight, whatever the hell it is.
Nine.
Yeah. And he covered for him because they're going to play him at shortstop for the wrong reasons.
Which are that they told him
he'd be the shortstop, and they got him signed for nine more years.
And just think how the dominoes fall. I'll get off. Let me just say this. I'll run. If you put him in center, or hear me out, I believe he could be a gold glove outfielder with his speed. He's not a plus arm, adequate arm. But then you move a gold glove left fielder over to left field permanently, okay, if he's going to be our guy, Marsh. Then you put Stott to shortstop, and who knows, he could solve our problems at shortstop.
Look, center field's an incredibly important position. I mean,
you gotta be strong up the middle. Yep.
Very important. All right, Chuck, give me a great answer. What's the feel-good story?
Yeah, every moment I was blessed enough to coach my kids in sports, that was all feel-good moments. It was just great.
You got it, buddy. All right, Chuck, that's a nice thing right there.
Do you think that's even feasible, like that idea?
Not because the way Dombrowski answered it and the way we kind of already knew he was going to be a shortstop, no. Could it be years from now? Sure.
I don't see why he would be like disagreeable.
Well, because he thinks he's a shortstop. He's played shortstop his whole life. He wants to play shortstop. It'd be like, you know, if people said to you, John, play wide receiver. You know what? I think you'd be better out there. You're like, well, I don't know what I'm doing out there.
But some things are ridiculous.
I agree. I'm trying to think of John as an example. The point is, he's a shortstop his whole life. Like, he doesn't want to play outfield. You know,
I'm not saying
that he should. I'm with you. I'm just saying that I think it's clear why he wouldn't want to.
Guys do switch positions.
Sure.
I mean, it doesn't feel like it's that much of a stretch. He does have the skill set where he could do it.
It's a very different thing to play center field than shortstop.
I'm sure.
But look, you're going to make the playoffs. You have 6 months to prepare for October to be good enough to catch the ball in center field in October. You know, if you can go be a center fielder, by the way, let me give you something about Pete Rose. It's an amazing fact. And there's a lot of reasons, obviously, as a player, he was really admired. Here's one of them. Five different positions that he played 500 games at.
Yeah.
Five different positions.
That's a baseball
that he
head.
Played but like three seasons doable. Worth of games at. But think about that.
Amazing.
It's incredible.
Amazing.
Right?
And I don't expect that of Trey Turner. But I do think it's something that can be done. And especially when you are as athletic as he is, he can move well. He moves really well.
But they should do it. It is the correct thing for the future of the Phillies. I just
Stott
am saying I understand. I think Turner doesn't want to, and I think that matters to them, sadly.
Yeah, sadly. Sadly is the key word. All right.
But I don't know.
Let me tell you what's not sad. When John Ritchie puts a song together for us. Now, one caveat I got to say on the way in the door. Mm-hmm. One caveat.
It's a fair caveat.
All right. James and I talked about this privately. Hmm. So the assignment, if you remember, was, John, like, things haven't been going good lately. Do you have a song that can sum up how we feel in a negative way? Like, you know, a mood setter for like.
Well, no, it was like.
I said Sounds of Silence, for example.
Yeah. Okay.
No,
Crying.
Yeah, we said we wanted a sad song to represent.
I thought it was a pick me up song because things were.
No, he said crying. He talked about singing crying on the air. How did you misinterpret that? I know, but how did you misinterpret him saying crying into you wanted a pick me up song?
Because I thought crying was just impossible.
It's all right. All right, look, here we go. This is Jack and Diane. It's a beautiful song, it's John Ritchie. It's not summing up how we feel, but to John's point, it is, let's feel better. Let's be in love again. Jack and Diane with John Ritchie.
Little did it about Jack and Diane. Two American kids growing up in the heartland. Jackie gonna be your football star. Diane debutante backseat of Jackie's car. Sucking on a chili dog outside of James Dupree. Diane's sitting on Jackie's lap, got his hand between his knees. Jackie says, hey, Diane, run all behind the shady tree. Dribble off those bobby books that let me do what I do. Say, oh, yeah, life goes on. Long after the thrill of living is gone. Say, oh, yeah, still life goes on. Long after the thrill.
like it. I like it a lot. I like it a lot.
Got a little Bob Dylan-y there with the singing. It was like, oh, yeah. It was good. I liked it.
Thanks, guys.
Well done, man. Well done.
It was supposed to be a pick-me-up.
Yeah.
And I don't know that it picked me up. I don't think it picked me up.
It picked me up.
If it did, don't lie,
Devin.
I was pushed back down.
Let me give you a pick. I'm going to give you a pick me up question because it's so ridiculous. This came up yesterday. Joe Conklin, Joe Wechter, and I were in a room, and I know that sounds like the start of a joke.
It does,
but this is not a joke. Joe Conklin said something, and Wechter and I, we were both seated at the time, both almost fell out of our collective chairs because we were surprised that Conklin thinks he is this.
Wechter is laughing right now in the other room.
Conklin, in the middle, he's just talking, he's in a sentence, and in the middle of a sentence, he just references that he is a member of the media.
Conklin?
Yeah.
Wait,
no.
Now,
wait,
I asked the jury, ladies and gentlemen of the jury.
That's great.
Is Joe Conklin a member of the media? Now, this topic picks me up because it's so ridiculous.
I don't think
he is.
Wow.
Of course he's not.
He's a comedian that pops on for a couple minutes, gives us some great work, but I don't think that makes a media member.
Depends on which voice he's using at the time.
It may.
Maybe that's why in his head he thinks he's actually, you know, Stan Hockman.
All right, Devin, you're relatively smart. Is Joe Conklin?
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome. Pitt Panther and all that.
H2P.
Now, if you were really smart, you go to Penn State that's undefeated and has a better shot to win national title than Pitt.
What? No, Pitt is undefeated.
Penn State third in the nation.
Okay.
Pitt not.
All right. Well, we don't support Penn State.
Right? Dan Marino ain't Pitt's quarterback. All right. Devin, is Joseph Conklin a member of the media?
I had the option to go to Penn State, and I chose Pitt, just for the record.
Boss comment.
She just threw that right in your face.
You know why she didn't go there? She didn't get in main campus.
That's not true. I didn't want to share a classroom with like 500 students. No, he's not a member of the media. He creates media.
Shots everywhere.
But he's not a member.
No.
John is
just... I love it. Just, let's just
that.
Like firing off shrapnel. Everyone's Kevin Shrapnel today.
All right, let's not forget Conklin. He deserves a lot of shrapnel.
All the shrapnel, really.
I mean, he thinks he's a media member. I said no, multimedia, but not media.
He's a multimedia member. That's much better. No, I initially scoffed at this idea, but... I think he is a capable.
Yeah, he's a
member.
Journalist. Let's call him a journalist. Let's go a step further. Yeah, he's a
there. You go.
He does journal.
James, he's not media. What are
James,
we doing here?
You know what would be the best?
What?
Conklin starts showing up at press conferences
and
ask questions.
Sitting next to Merrill, doing Merrill asking a question would be amazing.
I want him asking Sirianni a question in Allen Iverson voice.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.